You're listening to KNEL Sports Podcast, where you can enjoy sports from around the heart of Texas and Northwest Hill Country. KNEL is committed to bringing you sports live on 95.3 KNEL FM, 1490 KNEL AM, and online at knelradio.com. Hope you enjoy this edition of KNEL Sports Podcast.
5347-5899.
And this is indeed the morning program, and we're happy to have with us this morning Brady Mayer, Tony Groves. Good morning, Mayor.
Howdy. How are you today?
I am good. I'm good. I hope that you're well.
I am.
All right. Well, the Brady City Council met for a regular City Council session last night. Had a number of items on there. You started off with, first of all, was a, what was first?
We had a briefing on the current condition of the, or the current status of the water treatment plant. Good news is it will get completed. The bad news is the date of completion is now looking like September of 2023. That's driven by the elevated storage tank delays that that occurred with paperwork, and then the availability of the materials that had been ordered and were still on order. The rest of the system is going to come along, but it is associated with the microchips that were there that run all the pumps and in the controls.
Let me make sure I understand. We have two projects underway. This is the one that for upgrading the water radium reduction system?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And let me flip to that page.
So we go from hoping for the end of this year to September of next year.
And actually, our hoping for the end of this year was already a bit of a delay. But it was not Putin. It was the pandemic that that messed with the supply chain and delayed the chip side of it.
The chips are a problem for everything.
And the presentation said that substantial completion in September of 2023 and final completion in October of 2023, so that's a full year slip from what we were looking for in all of this as we went through that. So not a lot of questions on that, but like I said, the presentation after doing the consent agenda that included minutes and then it included the closure of the 200 block of North Church Street between West Main Street and West Lockhart Street from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, November the 19th, for as requested by the Visit Brady in the Brady McCullough County Chamber of Commerce. So then we move to the individual concerns. We juggle that a little bit because we had a pretty good crowd last night, and we went ahead and did the discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the award of the contractor service proposal received from Duncan Mechanical Services of San Angelo in the amount of $108,161 for replacement of the City Hall boiler and cooling unit in its entirety with new HVAC units. I made the remark as we started that one that when I became mayor in July timeframe of 2013 and took a tour of City Hall, we went back and looked at the boiler and the cooling unit. And at that point, the unit, I think it's a 1970s unit, so when you do the math, that's over 50 years. But the comment was, we need to get this replaced as soon as we can because it doesn't get the City Hall cool enough in the heat of the summertime, and it can't keep City Hall warm enough for people to be comfortable during the wintertime. And it took us this long to get it high enough on the priority list that the contractor was decided upon through a competitive process. No local air conditioning heating folks bid in that. In the bid are only two bids, one from Abilene Company and then the one here, Duncan Mechanical Services. Dramatic difference, more than three times as much from the Abilene folks, because their approach was to go back and replace the boiler with another boiler and another cooling system like that. The approach that Duncan Mechanical Services took was to take all of that out, use the existing ducting, work it differently so there would be five HVAC units that would do different sections of the City Hall and back each other up. The big advantage that they kept talking about was the ability that if the system broke down, local contractors could do repairs on it, as opposed to trying to get the folks from San Angelo to get over there as quick as they could, because it's pretty standardized units, and they're from a company that also produces Carrier air conditioners. So no discussion on that other than a little bit on the funds. We had budgeted $103,000. This was a little over $5,000 more, and they were seeking a little more in contingency funds, but there was sufficient funds in the building maintenance and improvement account so that they didn't need a change in the budget from the City Council. So we moved from there to the discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding comments made by Lance Grove for the property located at 401st Pine Street. Lance has built a courtyard on the front of that house, and that's not something that's considered in the planning and zoning in the building codes. So we had a little bit of that discussion and a little bit of history on on it. A little bit of a paperwork snafu on the front end of that. But I had gone by late last week and taken a look at it just so I understood what he was talking about when he was talking about a courtyard. And his main concern is security on the house where it's located, with a lot of passersby that were felt free to come up and tap on the window and things like that. So he was trying to avoid that and improve the security with a courtyard system that he had used before in his building. In the process really goes back with some discussion from our city attorney, who was with us last night at the council meeting. It goes back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for them to take a look at that, include courtyards if they decide to do that, and whatever information that they needed associated with that, then they would make a recommendation back to a council to change that, with an allocation in there for courtyards in a description, if that's what they chose to recommend, as opposed to the approach that had been initiated initially, was to look at the variance off of the existing documents that we have that would cover that area. So kind of a start over again, but not a shutdown and requirement to take down the work that had already been done, at least at this point. And that direction to the staff was approved by the council. Next, we jump down to the last item on the agenda, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the lots on Dodge Heights subdivision. Another long-term thing that we've been working on that started way back early in the, about 2014, to get out of the lot leasing out at the lake. So both Dodge Heights and the Davy Addition involved in this process. In the Dodge Heights, the end result was replatting, looking at getting that squared away, and then having somebody make appraisals for the land only, not the buildings that people had placed on their leases that they had, and then get an appraisal that would allow the fair market value to be established. Some question about whether it's fair market value today or the day that we declared the moratorium on the leases out there. My opinion was that since it was the city that had been unable to get this issue resolved, that it should be the fair market value back at the start of the process that was there. And this was all initiated by the fact that TCEQ has a regulation that says if you're going to put a septic tank on a lot for a residential property, you have to have a half acre, and most of those lots were not a half acre at that point. Way downstream in the process that we were working through, it was determined that TCEQ had gone back and given a grandfather clause that said, basically, if you already have a lot that's less than a half acre and it has a septic tank on it, then you don't have to increase the lot to a full half acre. If you repair the septic system, again, no change. But if you should condemn that one and go to build a new septic system, then you would have to have a half acre in order to do that. But the real goal was to use the empty lots and to use the arrangement that was out there to make them into half-acre lots as best we can. In some cases, that's not very easy with the way the lots are laid out. And we found that both in the Davy Addition and in Dodge Heights. So we took care of those. Lots of participation, lots of discussion that drug on for a while. We went back up and picked up the second item, which was the second and final reading of an ordinance establishing the Building Standards Commission as another commission that the city would operate for providing, and we provided for appointments to the Building Standard Commission. We don't have any volunteers for it right now, but like a number of the other committees, commissions, and groups that are working, we're always looking for customers that, or citizens, I should say, that would like to participate in that, to be a part of the city government and the rules and regulations that we have there. So we next moved on to the second and final reading of Ordinance 1346 of the City of Brady, adopting a zoning change from commercial district to multifamily residential district for the property located at 603 West Commerce Street in the Fulcher subdivision. The properties around it, and that piece of property was zoned commercial, but there's a property adjacent to it that is multifamily residential, and so we're not spot zoning as part of that. A little bit of discussion, but it was the second reading. We had had that discussion at the previous council meeting, and that motion passed 5-0. Next was item D, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1347 of the City of Brady to adopt the 2023 budget. That passed 5-0 before, and it passed 5-0 again last night with a roll call vote that was required because it's a budget item. The central budget for the administration of the city government is $7.6 million. That's a question that came up before. But the overall budget is very confusing because it includes a lot of money from grants and loans associated with both the radium reduction drinking water program and the wastewater program that's out there. So there are a lot of funds that get that number way up, and it fluctuates a lot in a year with all the different budgets that we have and all the different utilities. Traditionally, that budget, as we move money around from, for instance, the electric budget that produces money in lieu of taxes, gave us the opportunity to shift those funds around in the accounting. If you move money from the electric budget into the administrative budget, then that's counted as revenue and expense for those two. So it looks to the novice like me double counting, but whatever. So the typical overall budget with all the utilities and all the other services that we have, it's usually around $23 million to give you a feel for the shifting of that. There was, I'll just take a second to go out of order here, as we did the staff reports. We included in the staff reports was the final installment for the fiscal year from sales tax, and it was just slightly the highest that the city has ever had for their share of it. Came out to, I think, $125,000 in that amount that we got from sales tax, which is actually a little bit more than we get out of the property taxes. Next, second and final reading of Ordinance 1348, City of Brady to adopt the 2022 proposed tax rate. That tax rate went from 39 cents per $100 valuation to 37 cents, 37 and a half cents. So the rate actually decreased, but due to increased appraised values of the properties in the city and new properties added for fiscal year 2022, the increase was 3.5% in tax revenue, over the previous year, which forces us to fill some blank spaces in a quote that the legislature requires us to use, and our change from, this amazes me, our change from a tax rate of 39 cents to 37 and a half cents goes in the books as an increased tax rate in the statement that we had to fill the blanks in for. But as I said, it was an increase in tax revenue, but the tax rate per $100 valuation of the property actually went down. But the appraisers who base a great deal of that appraisal, just about all of it, on sales of properties, there are folks that are paying higher prices for properties in the city of Brady, which drives the appraisal up as part of that. The last item in our sequence there is item G, discussion, consideration, and possible action for appointing David Morton to the Airport Advisory Board to replace Carrie Day, who had dropped off the advisory board for the airport. Again, just to make a quick point of that, there are lots of opportunities for folks to help with a lot of committees and commissions that are there. And if you are interested in one of those things, if you contact the city secretary, she can steer you through that process and you can fill out an application and be involved in those things. They do have terms, usually of 2 to 3 years, but we have people come and go frequently during those tours. So while we would not encourage people to leave early on their the time that their term covers, we don't make a big deal out of that. And if somebody should find themselves on the committee that's doing something that they are not really very interested in or wasn't what they expected, they could shift to another one or walk away from that one if they wanted to do it. So we took a couple of minutes to grab some food and clear the courtroom that was there so we could go into executive session. And we had two items on the executive session, although we only addressed the first one, which was consultation with the attorney about the EMS contract with the county. We had a good long discussion, came out of that into open session, and in the open session took a vote to give the city manager, Aaron Corbell, authority to finalize the agreement between the city and the county at $213,000 for the EMS service that the city is offering the county to cover the EMS services in the county. A lot of controversy there, a lot of discussion. We're just, about 15,000 apart in what they have offered to pay for the service. The council is very adamant and unanimous that 213,000 is the right figure. With a lot of effort has gone into calculating that, considering all the factors. And like I said, unanimous vote by the city council to hold to the number of $213,000 for that service. And then we adjourned the meeting.
Adjourned after that. Okay. We move on.
Yes, sir.
And the keep on going. The water treatment facility and the wastewater treatment facility, is it affected by the delays that we're talking about? Are they going to be same kind of delay as the...
A little bit, but because the wastewater treatment plant was bid out and the contractor was arranged for that. And it's a much smaller project than the drinking water program. It has not been impacted greatly by that. So those two will, what we anticipated was to finish drinking water almost a full year before we finished mm-hmm. the wastewater treatment plant. And as it turns out, with the drinking water delays and the different situation for the wastewater will probably be completed in the summertime, and it will be finished ahead of the drinking water program.
Interesting. The way things turn out.
But there will be the phrase that was used frequently in the military was the long pole in the tent, referring to the dominant controlling factor is the to complete the project is the parts and availability of the contractor to make the elevated storage tank out at the airport to be the last item that was there. There will be portions of the city before that elevated storage tank is finished that will be getting the treated water with the radium removed. Give me just a second and I think I can find this slide that shows when the December of 2022 is actually the installation of the medium that will be used mm-hmm. to remove the radium from the water, and the first well site commissioning with that system will be in February of 23. And then, like I said, the airport storage tank start construction is April of 23, but it doesn't affect the startup of the radium removal because we can use pump number 7 to get the water to the customers that would be drawing water from the elevated storage tank right. when it's finished. We believe that we can do that successfully. And so treated water will be online that will have removed the iron from the water and then radium from the water with the WRT radium reduction process that San Angelo, I think Richland Springs, Mason, a number of other places use. So it's a proven system. And it should be functioning prior to the final completion. The elevated storage tank gives us the capability to increase the water pressure in mm-hmm. across the whole city, north side and south side. And the other factor as part of all that will be the capability to provide the iron to be removed from the water, which is a byproduct, having to do that before you do the radium reduction. But it should get us all back into that. When we finish that, then we will look to see if there's any money left in the fund to deal with the water system. And if there is, as we anticipate there will be, then we will look into taking well 4 and using it as an irrigation well with untreated water so that we don't spend the money mm-hmm. to get the radium out of water that we're going to put on the grass at the primarily at the golf course, that sort of thing.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea.
So that's it.
We're happy. Moving ahead.
Yes.
And the water's going to taste great.
Hopefully the water's not going to taste. That's the
okay.
The real goal.
I like that.
It will be clear and it won't have that iron taste to it.
Okay. That's a good. Very good. Thanks, Mayor.
You bet.
Appreciate
have a great
it.
Day.
You bet. Mayor Tony Gross with us this morning here on the morning program. We'll be back with more of the morning program coming up right here on KNEL.
Thanks for listening to Cannondale Sports Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed your podcast today. For live broadcast of Cannondale Sports, listen to 95.3 Cannondale FM, 1490 Cannondale AM, or CannondaleRadio.com. Or to make it simple, just ask Alexa to play Cannondale FM or Cannondale AM. Or find Cannondale 95.3 FM or 1490 AM on the TuneIn app. We look forward to being with you again here from KNEL.